'Tis the season to be jolly. For who exactly? It's the most wonderful time of the year. Actually feels like the most stressful. Sunvelo can help. Sunvelo has everything you need to manage stress and feel better, all in one app, including teletherapy, coaching, self-care tools, and a community that gets it. Get free premium coaching for 2 weeks by visiting sanvelo.com/friendzone. Sanvelo, a place to feel better.
Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
I don't know what's going on. All I know is my side of the story. I can't tell no other story. I'm innocent. And mama, I love you. P.O.P. all the time. Right, these are good pimps, boy, baby. For life.
Now, we know that this is an oft-circulated clip that's made its rounds around the internet for so long. For many years, you know. For many years, we have identified with this clip, you know, of P.O.P. holding it down, okay, Pimp Squad for life. But I think what was so, there's some gems. I tell you guys this often. There's gems that we have to unearth.
Mm-hmm.
And in the very beginning of the video, she said, you know, I don't know what happened. All I know is my story. I can only tell. All I know is my side of the story. I can only tell my story. Stop right there. You don't even need to go no further. That is the song that needs to be heard around the world. All you really know is your side of the story. So guess what that means? And this is what I mean about black women delivering a message each and every time. As she said, all I know is my side of the story. I can only tell my story. Stop speaking for everybody. Stop speaking on everybody. Stop telling what you think another motherfucker thought about something. Stop reaching in your other people's pots. Okay, and just stay in your own, because as she just said so eloquently, to be exact, all I know is my side of the story. I can only tell my story. The hashtag this week is my story. Be true to yourself, you know. Stick to what you know. Stay in your lane. Mind your business. All of those things that fall under the umbrella of sticking to your side of the story, because that's all you know. Which also means and infers that you only doing and operating from a place of knowledge and understanding of what it is that you operating with. Do you understand and get my meaning? Know what you're talking about before you open your mouth. And to ensure that, only talk about things that you know about. Hashtag my story. And with that being said, welcome to the friend zone, which is your look into everything each and every week. Mental health, mental wealth, mental hygiene. Because who wants a musty brain? I know I don't. Hey, friend, how you doing? And also, I want to give a shout out to Loudspeakers Network, because we just celebrated and commemorated over 25 million listens of the Friend Zone. On SoundCloud alone, might I add. Friend, you brought up a very valid point.
I mean, you had to say it. You know, you had to
say
it.
Let's be crystal clear, because all we can do is talk about what we know. You know, hashtag our story, okay? Mm. All we know is our story. And what we know about this is that those numbers were reflective of our SoundCloud listens. That doesn't even include Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
Tidal,
Stitcher.
You name
all these incredible, you name it! All these incredible platforms, you know. But 25 million listens, damn it, I'm happy to celebrate that. Thank you so much to Loudspeakers Network for delivering us a plaque to commemorate that. We got plaques on the wall, y'all.
Hey,
you got
plaques
on the wall.
Oh,
yes. 25 million listens.
My office looking like a recording studio at PAX.
Oh, I was thinking about that too, friend. I was like, oh, I'm going to hang this in my office.
You
like,
know.
How's it going to look?
Ain't
like,
that where it goes? Okay, it's business.
I remember in one of Claude's old apartments, he had a long hallway when you first entered, and it was just plaques going down the hallway. So you knew as soon as
Lord.
You walked in.
That just gave me chills, friend.
Ooh, just following you into the apartment. I always said, I cannot wait. To have a semblance of a wall like this based off of our work.
With 25 million listens. That's
amazing.
That's a number, y'all.
Yes.
And shout out to our SoundCloud family, honestly. The ones that listen on that platform religiously, because obviously they're the ones that helped us pull those kind of metrics off. So shout out to y'all.
Shout out to
SoundCloud. Especially with TOs that be cutting up in the comments, okay?
Yes, for real. The only comments we read.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes. I don't be up in them SoundCloud streets too often now.
I mean, they can get a little spicy sometimes, but we know it's all good. Do you guys have any announcements before we jump in?
Yes, but I can't talk about it for the next 2 days. So I just, you know, pay attention around Thursday. Pay attention around Thursday morning, you know, for something special. But also, thank you to everyone for tuning in to Holding Court, the new podcast that I co-host with the fabulous and incredible Ebony K. Williams, attorney Ebony K. Williams, Real Housewife of New York City, Ebony K. Williams. It's performing so well. We're charting in the news podcast, top 25 over all the fucking podcasts out. Only black podcast in the news category up there. So I'm so grateful for that. And thank you for everybody taking a listen over there. So shout out to Holding Court with Ebony K. Williams on iHeartRadio, a part of the Black Effect Network. So it's a good thing going on over there.
And don't forget that drops today. So after you done listening over here, go over there and listen. Okay.
Come on, lend me an ear. Lend me an ear. Lend me an ear. Lend me an ear. So that's it.
Okay. So Dustin, you actually have the Black Business of the Week.
I do. Speaking of podcasts, so we get so many inquiries and so many people reach out about how to set up a podcast from a tech perspective, what kind of equipment they need. It gets very confusing. It gets very expensive potentially, and it's just a lot sometimes for people to manage and understand. So I have a solution for you. Shout out to One of One Production Studio in Fort Lee, New Jersey. It's a wonderful studio who has created these podcast kits that offer recording, editing, equipment that you need. It's basically a kit giving you everything you need to record a podcast, and they offer kits to reflect how many people you need in your setup. So if you just need a setup for one person, if you need a setup for two people, if you need one for three people, they have what you need, from the Zoom recorders to microphones to cords, shit, everything you need, they got them. And it's right here in New Jersey. So shout out to Fela and the crew over there at One of One Productions. If you would like to inquire about getting a podcast kit, again, this is grade A equipment for you to set up your own recording studio at home for a podcast, to launch your podcast. You have these ideas. If you're ready to get moving on them, here's where you need to go. Just send an email to sales, S-A-L-E-S, at One of One Productions. That's O-N-E of O-N-E productions.com, and tell them that you are a listener of the Friendzone podcast, and you will absolutely get a special discount on your order. And if you need additional information, you can also visit their website at One of One. That's again O-N-E of O-N-E productions.com. Send it right over. They are a wonderful podcast studio, again, that caters to the booming business of podcasts. So check them out right here in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Easy to get around. And these kids can come to you. Tell them the Friendzone sent you. And that's our Black Business for the week.
Ew. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Do your podcast, y'all. Do your podcast.
So on last week's episode, titled The Vow, we discussed HBO's 9-part documentary series titled The Vow about the sex cult. And then we kind of went into a conversation about personality traits, what makes certain people more susceptible to cults. Why are some people followers? Why are some people leaders? And we shared our thoughts and our personal experiences. And as always, those of you listening had a lot to say. So who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to everybody in the emails. I want to give a special shout out to Aisha. The subject here is sociology and religion, parentheses, the vow. Hey, Friendzone, I'm a professor that teaches sociology. I enjoy when you guys share episodes like this because they're so relevant to my field as a sociologist, which is majority of you guys' episodes. I love that. Thanks. I discuss the process with my students about how religion and culture are coherently close. Sociologist Emil Durkheim discussed the functional means behind religion and human behavior. He introduced the three major functions that religion hold in our society and the effects it has on our human behavior. Religion helps to, one, create social cohesion, two, promote social control within the religion and society, and three, gives us a sense of purpose in our life. Once and if ever an individual disconnects from one of these functions as a person, They might fall out of like with an organization, disconnecting them from the day-to-day social interactive role within that religious community, allowing them to mentally, physically, and sometimes spiritually withdraw themselves. As long as the individual and everyone around you in the social group feel that cohesiveness with the social setting, you will feel that welcome, warm feeling and will continue with whatever the social norms are of that group and hold yourself to those expectations, thus promoting social control. Love you guys. Please come to Houston when the Rona stops tripping. I don't know when that is, girl.
Thank you.
But... I love the fact that you sent us that and you just really affirmed everything that we talk about and, you know, just do a little stank and, you know, education
on
topics that we go through. So thanks again, Aisha.
Come on, academia.
Okay, you know, just a little, you know, something to back it up. What about you, friend? What did you find you over there riding around in them SoundCloud streets?
Yes. So the host of the Dear Showrunners podcast left a comment saying, long time listener, first time commenter. I'm so glad. Hey. I'm so glad. Wow. What accent is that? I am so glad you all talked about the vow, but I think there are a lot more organizations, especially wellness ones, hello, with cult tendencies. For example, last year I signed up to do this yoga teacher training. I thought it would be a wonderful experience because I was going to the studio for a while. So when the owner asked me to sign up, I didn't think much about it. I thought this was a good investment in my future, but boy, was I wrong. The owner of the studio's brother came into town for the training, and it was something about this guy that irritated my soul. He was saying things like, you're so fucked up. You'll have to take this course multiple times.
Oh my God.
Wow.
By the second day of training, I felt like all my ancestors was on me. It was this visceral reaction in my body. So I got my certification and never returned to that studio again. There was this older white lady who was defeated by the end. I say all this to say, trust your gut. And that is the absolute truth. It's not just these religious-based organizations. But there was a documentary, I think, on Netflix. Damn, I forgot the name. It's like, it was a wellness doc about the wellness industry, you know, basically like exploiting people for the same thing that the sociologist professor just mentioned in the email. People want to belong to something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so there were organizations that had to do with essential oils. And people were like,
yeah.
Did you see that doc too?
I think I did. And they were talking about how it was a scam for all these.
Yeah, it was a multi-level scam.
Yep,
a pyramid scheme.
Uh-huh. A pyramid scheme, but ooh. It was like,
they
essential
showed that white woman
oils.
Talking about how she couldn't, or she had supported her team and she was making like $200,000 a year on and
yeah,
shit.
The other lady whose skin got super fucked up because they were telling her to drink it, to sleep with it, to eat with it, to like put it in her bed. And she was just listening to everything they were saying and going against her gut and what her body was showing her it was doing to her. But she just kept listening to them. And even just the fact that like an essential oil company could create this type of chaos in someone's life. So I definitely agree that it's not just on a religious level, but it's just any initiative or organization that tries to kind of display some type of control over your mind and wanting you to be part of this team. Even like Herbalife. Remember how people were about Herbalife?
My God. Yeah, the whole time I was thinking it was cigarettes. I swear to God, when people first started talking about Herbalife, so I was
it
like,
was
is this
wild.
Cigarettes?
But do you remember how people were like obsessed with it? Like it was like a real cult.
It was the first CMOS.
Oh my God.
Because if I hear one more thing about motherfucking CMOS, I swear to God, you need to eat this CMOS. This CMOS is going to get it out and see it drain. It just clean it all out you in the CMOS. And now, first it was Herbalife, now it's CMOS. I just watch it. You know, you just watch it come and go, gone by.
The documentary you referring to.
People's intentions, you know.
The documentary you referring to, friend, it's called Unwell.
Unwell. Thank you very much, Asante. And
that's one about the oils?
It had an episode, because it's a whole series, and it had an episode about the oils that blew my fucking mind. Because I was like, people really want to belong to anything these days.
Yeah, they had an episode on essential oils, one on tantric sex, one on bulking up with breast milk, fasting, ayahuasca, and
the breast milk one was like...
bulking up with breast milk.
Next fucking level. Like, when bulking I tell you I was cringing. Cringing. You gotta Why, watch friend? It. If you anything, Dustin, just watch. I'll tell you this one part because I don't want to ruin it. But I'll tell you, this lady became obsessed with slanging breast milk online.
You had to say slanging.
Obsessed with slanging breast yes. milk? Yes.
And her husband was like, this is all she talks about.
It's she was breast milk.
She became obsessed. Like she was literally, so she just be in the house all fucking day, just pumping and selling and packaging. And then her husband was basically like, "I'm not gonna be here for long." Like he said it straight into the camera, like it's me and the breast milk. I was like, "This is
well,
crazy.
Yeah, because her tits are gonna drag. There's no way that you can be hooked up to a pump like that, damn near 24 hours a day, and not expect nipples on your belt buckle. Like that's what's gonna happen. So that's probably why he was
making money
like,
though. She was making bank. She didn't care. She was making bank. Okay,
I guess
she had
so.
A
she
brand.
Said, fuck you. I'm getting this milk out of here.
I'm getting this milk money. Okay.
Okay, but
golden,
I got a question about the yoga
golden
class.
Golden milk. Mm-hmm.
I got a question about the yoga class because now I'm, you know, everybody's experience is their experience, right? And I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how it was said. But what if they wasn't necessarily like getting the poses and, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess like the points that they were supposed to get. Maybe he was just like, damn, y'all muff, like, I ain't even gonna hold you. Y'all fucked up. Y'all gonna take this class like 3-4 times. What if it was out of love? I wasn't there, so it's not, you know, I can't say that. But I'm just saying, like, I wonder what it was like because I was waiting for something else to happen.
It don't sound like it had anything to do with no pose. Not from this comment.
I was just waiting for something. I was like, okay. I thought that was like the warm up to what had really went down. You know what I'm saying? That made it like abusive. But you know.
No, but you know, also, jokes aside, a friend of mine went through the same thing and it was with a yoga company. She got Mm-mm. super caught up in their quote unquote culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, went with them on an international trip to Central America. They were doing some ceremony, some ritual that they probably had no fucking ancestral permission to even put together. You already know how that goes down. And mm-hmm. she ended up having like a psychotic break because
no.
of some shit that they put in her drink, like a ceremonial drink she took. Mm-hmm. And she like almost lost her mind. In a whole other country, they left her. Because they were like, oh, shit. You know, they probably got scared. Like, oh, shit. Like, what did we do? And they did not help her. Had her wandering the fucking streets like crazy. Luckily, you know, she had good Samaritans that could sense that something was off and helped her kind of regain her calibration. But I've heard crazy stories. That's why when you see these wellness retreats, just because it's someone you enjoy from the internet, even, you know, me speaking, like, you got to be careful. Just have discernment, especially the international ones. Like, know what you're getting yourself involved in. That's the scam of the wellness industry. You think it's wellness. You think everyone's intentions are pure and they're trying to help. But a lot of these are just marketing schemes. You know, they're mm-hmm. just trying to get some coin.
Get a lick.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go on Ayanla. Fuck it.
Ayanla's quitting. You saw she's done.
Yeah, that's why I'm ready wow. to go now because she ain't going to be there.
I'm dead.
Oh, Lord.
With that being said, Dustin, what you find in the Twitter streets?
I want to give a shout out to Sunny Hostin, who quoted a tweet from Jennifer Jacobs that reads, "Breaking, Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, has coronavirus, sources tell me." So Sunny Hostin quoted this tweet and said, "The chief of staff of the head of the coronavirus task force has the coronavirus." Okay. So I thought that tweet was noteworthy. Also, want to give a shout out to whoever it is that created the change.org petition to get Crystal to invite me over to her house.
Did you win?
Oh, it's been, baby, the
that
signatures
thing
have been piling on.
Sign down.
I'm going to tell you right now, hold on.
The organizer keeps moving it, though, which I think is extra fucking funny because at first it was 100 signatures. Then it turned into 500.
It's at 481 signatures right now. It says that Deja Avery Hart started this petition to Crystal, which reads, "Crystal, Dustin has been without you long enough. Lysol him down and let him in the house. He loves you. He misses you. You miss him. You love him. Come on now. You know you want to. Well, she ain't say you know you want to, but I feel like that's what was missing out the the vial on the petition. But I just thought that was fucking hilarious. Everybody knows me and Crystal have this long-running joke during quarantine about her not letting me in her actual house because she says I won't sit my ass down. And it's just funny. So the fact that it's now made its way onto Twitter and on actuallychange.org, and I keep getting these emails like, a petition you signed is really moving well. Let's, if you share it, can you? It's just so funny to me. So shout out to Deja Avery Hart.
I'm not going to lie to you. I will go to that petition every couple of days just to look at the reasons for signing, because it's pretty damn funny.
People are hilarious. The best is when you posted, when you put Dustin deserves freedom, when you posted the 25 million plaque, and she was like, oh, that's wonderful that you were home to receive it.
Yeah. Her evil ass.
Let me in.
That's right. Bet being sissy, you the one saying I'm at home, so let me in yours then. That's why I understand what the problem is. Let me in the house. This is, let me tell you something, Crystal. You better let me in. You understand me? And that's it. Love you. Okay. Oh, last tweet I want to highlight actually comes from Marsha Ambrosius, y'all. Believe it or not.
Uh-oh.
And she quoted a tweet that said, why didn't y'all tell me that Marsha Ambrosius was a part of Floratry? I knew my good sis looked familiar. So Marsha Ambrosius quotes the tweet and says, 2020 is dot, dot, dot. That's all she said.
Wow.
That's embarrassing. Imagine her, imagine Marsha retweeting you to say
like, I fell out when I saw that. And that's all I have to share this week.
Wow. So this week's episode is produced by Sir Dustin Ross. Why don't you let us know what we're getting into, because we're going in cold, y'all.
We're going in cold. So this week, for several weeks now, actually, I've been wanting to have a formal conversation about something that just was fascinating to me, to say the least. You know, I really don't want to appear biased or slanted in my angle as I'm discussing this subject, but it probably is going to come out that way because it's really only one angle to look at this shit from. And so I want to discuss the curious case of Tamar Braxton. Okay.
Oh, wow. Is that the title?
That's a great.
That can be it. You know, I wasn't even intending for it to be that, but if that's the chord that is struck with you, then maybe that's the title of the show. But, okay, so it's no secret that I've been a huge Tamar Braxton fan since I was introduced to her 8 seasons ago on the Braxton Family Values on WeTV. A little bit of background. Tamar actually had the idea for a reality show, ensemble cast, using herself, her sisters, and her mom, with recurring appearances by her dad and then the spouses and or mates of her and her sisters. Even her brother, Mikey, actually, they do have one brother, which a lot of people don't know, but he actually appeared on the show as well. But Braxton Family Values entered our ethos about 8 years ago, and we all began to watch it. Initially, the draw was Toni Braxton. We began to get a firsthand glimpse into the personalities of Toni's 4 sisters, Tawanda Braxton, Tracy Braxton, Trina Braxton, and Tamar Braxton. And through that, they developed their own followings in their own right, which is kind of cool when you imagine what... I know they had to experience kind of living in the shadows of their big sister. Think about it. If your sister is an icon like Toni Braxton, you know what I mean? Worldwide monster hits, you know, touring all over the world, known around the world.
Especially when y'all started together.
Exactly. You know, that means that you had an intention upon getting some sort of attention for your gift and your talents. And so I just thought it was cool that they were able years later to actually serve, you know, that opportunity to her sisters through this reality show. And it was that brainchild of Tamar. She got Toni to agree to participate in it. All the sisters were in, and then we have a show. We would notice certain cracks in the relationship of the sisters because naturally everyone was intrigued by the fun banter that the sisters had back and forth with one another, them singing, visiting their childhood homes, the mother using black colloquialisms and, you know, words that we were familiar with on camera. You know, all that shit was just good to watch, on top of the fact that they could actually sing, especially Tamar.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Tamar has a polarizing personality. Love her or hate her, you never forget what you saw when you watched her on TV. And a reality television show was the perfect opportunity for her to put her personality on display, as well as clue people into the fact that she has an incredible singing voice. It's no question about it. Tamar can soar with the high notes. She can get low and sing like her sister Toni. She can whistle like Mariah. She's been a day one lamb, so she's a huge Mariah Carey fan who studied Mariah Carey's method of singing and done her best to interpret that through her own voice and her own style. So we find out Tamar could sing. We liked it. As the seasons progressed, Tamar's husband at the time, who is now her ex-husband, Vincent Herbert, kind of positioned her for commercial success, both in music, but also expanding her reach as a television personality by actually securing her a hosting spot on ensemble talk show The Real. She was one of the original cast members of the talk show The Real. They've gone on. She was nominated for an Emmy, I believe, two or three times during her experience on the show. She did not win. The show actually did go on to win Best Talk Show. Later on, after she had departed from the cast, she was fired after season two from The Real. She spent two seasons there. But again, this cemented her as a personality, as a talking head on TV, with daytime TV audiences, which were perfect for her. It landed well. She had a great relationship with the viewers. It was a good thing. And for fans of her like me, it's something about being introduced to a person on a reality show or through whatever method you are, right, and watching an ascension in their career and watching them rise to certain levels of stardom, watching them get certain opportunities. It is something so exciting about seeing that happen for a person. And the only other example I can think of would be NeNe Leakes. And it's random because they're actually friends in real life and both are curious cases of their own. But however, one thing that we loved about NeNe was watching her rise. We watched her start off on the bottom when we were introduced to her at The Real Housewives of Atlanta. We then gone on to watch NeNe get scripted acting roles, you know, do two runs on Broadway, one in Cinderella, one in Chicago, do all of these things, get all of these looks. She was on Fashion Police. You know, we saw her being amplified and rising, and it felt good because you kind of bond with these people as you watch their journey. You follow their life story on these reality shows. So there are a lot of people who have been rooting for Tamar from day one. Now, that's not saying that she's without fault or without any sort of alternative perspective. There are a lot of people who don't really fuck with Tamar like that. They don't like her personality. They feel like she's appropriated certain characteristics and phrasing from Black gay men. And they feel like she has just not been authentically herself ever. There's lots of people who feel like they've watched her on television for 8 years and they still don't know who the hell she is because she hasn't presented herself to them as authentic. There's always been a layer of something that was inauthentic to a lot of people. So this is something that has followed her around, which is why people like me who were fans of her were excited about things like The Real and excited about things, other things that she was getting and her success in music and touring, you know. But with Tamar Braxton, there's always seemed to be some sort of scandal, some sort of headline attached to her name that we have to manage as fans. You know, it's something that we have to kind of swallow and love her in spite of. There were the rumors of beefs with her and the other cast members on The Real, you know, that we didn't want to see because we watched her have what we deemed a real friendship with people like Adrian Bailon and Tamara Maury Housley. You know, we watched her sit side by side with these women. And actually, we saw the connection. I was a person who would come home from work and watch The Real every day, you know, on my DVR, because I loved seeing two people like Tamara Maury Housley and Tamar Braxton, who were unlikely friends, right? I enjoyed seeing them actually have a legitimate rapport with one another and be friends with each other. Well, see them hang out outside of the show. You know, those things were good to see. But a lot has taken place since then. She, like I said, she was fired from The Real. She had a years long, still going beef with K Michelle, which she is a person who we expect that type of shit from, because who gets along with K Michelle? But still, we watched Tamar go through this. We watched her have fallouts with Toya Wright. She even had some things to say about Monica. Monica really just cut it off. It was a one and done thing. You ain't gonna hear Monica really talking shit, because Monica said what she meant what she said, and that was it. But again, Tamar's name's attached to some mess. Fallouts with personal friends that we've seen her with on television before, she's no longer friends with. You know, this has been a constant, a long-standing, almost tradition in our experience as fans of Tamar Braxton.
Right.
But lately, also, let's not forget her and Vince and Herbert divorced. We were introduced to her and Vince as a couple. They had a long-running reality show spinoff from the Braxton Family Values called literally Tamar and Vince, about their marriage, about her professional career pursuits, about him operating as her husband and also her manager of her affairs, her business affairs. So we watched all that go on. And then we saw their relationship end. They had gave birth to a son named Logan. Logan is 7 years old. Now he looks like Vince. Spit him out just like this right here. Like, just spit him right out his mouth.
That kid is so cute.
He looks exactly like Vince. And so we see this. We see the dissolution of their marriage. We see them divorced. We see some accusations made even by Tamar's mom that Vince may or may not have been physically abusive to Tamar. You know, Tamar never really commented on that, but we saw it cause division amongst her and her mom. There was a bit of a break in their relationship, and they were notoriously close for years. We saw division amongst her and Tracy Braxton, her sister. Now, we all know Tracy Braxton been Tracy, okay? When we introduced her on the Braxton Family Values, damn it, we know what we was looking at, and we know what it was, but you know, you know, it's Tracy, so it just was what it was. However, and I think that all the sisters had done a pretty good job of maintaining a loving relationship with each other. Tracy is the first person, out of the group of sisters who I saw just take a blatantly opposing stance from her sisters, be willing to kind of argue on a more harsh, more aggressive level, you know, with the sisters, whatever. And later on, after the sisters had banded together because they wanted to see some changes in their contract with WeTV, and they decided to essentially strike and not film scenes of the reality show, we do know that Tracy did not participate in that. She went on to continue to film the show. They added a bunch of random past reality stars onto the show, and it was a very weird short season that ultimately we know that WeTV and the Braxton sisters were able to come to some different terms that were more accommodating, and filming resumed on the show. But we started to see more real, more extreme, more harsh circumstances amongst their relationships between the sisters and between Tamar and the network, so much so that Tamar most recently announced a spinoff show called Tamar Braxton, Get Your Life. It was a 6-episode docuseries scheduled to air on WeTV that Tamar agreed to do because she wanted to work on another show on VH1 called To Catch a Beautician, where her and celebrity hairstylist Johnny Wright, who was responsible for a lot of Michelle Obama's most popular looks during her time as the First Lady, our forever First Lady. But Tamar Braxton and Johnny Wright essentially went around to people all over the country who had bad experiences with their hairstylist, and they
I did.
You know, they brought the stylist in to give them another chance to fix the hair, learn some tips from Johnny, and Tamar cracked jokes the whole time. A big difference from what we had seen, you know, in her experience on Braxton Family Values, on Tamar and Vince, and even on Celebrity Big Brother, which, let's be clear, she won. She came in first place. She won. First black winner, female winner of Big Brother.
Unanimously so.
Everybody voted for her. Yes. Her and Candy were able to mend their relationship on that show. So it was a good thing. But the To Catch a Beautician series on VH1 was something lighthearted, fun, no drama, just good energy. And it was something she really wanted to do. But I believe due to contract stipulations, WeTV was trying to block her from doing it. They ended up working out a deal as long as she agreed to do this show. So she records this show. She films this show. We go on to find out later that it is produced by Mona Scott Young. Okay. And it's essentially a docuseries that originally was supposed to be about Tamar embarking on a one-woman show and basically getting another fresh start, crack at the entertainment industry to rebuild her name after all of these scandals, after all of these public falling outs with friends, family, loved ones, all these things. It was supposed to be a restart button for Tamar. We do know that, as I mentioned, Tamar and her ex-husband Vince split up. They got a divorce, and the next thing we knew, Tamar was dating a new man. Originally, she told us everything but who he was, because she said she wanted to try to keep it private, and that he was quote unquote a finance guy who was not interested in fame, celebrity, or being on camera at all. And that was that. But she, you know, talked about him so much. Every interview she did, remember when she went on Wendy Williams and she wore those Spanx and she was saying how that was an expression of her just taking ownership of her body and loving herself. But we don't know what happened, why she did that. But she was gushing over him during that interview, right? So she's saying that this guy is just the best, you know, thing in her life. He has just been so instrumental to her loving herself and healing from some past trauma. And he's been such a good stepdad figure to her son, Logan, and he's so loving, and she always gushed over how fine he was to her. She would always say he was so fine, and she called him T'Challa, which we know the late, great Chadwick Boseman played him in Black Panther. You know, so she really kind of amplified his existence in her life and his role as her partner, and had the anyone who would listen just basically believing that this was the best thing to happen to her in quite some time. So time rolls along, and like I said, she begins to film this docuseries called Tamar Braxton Get Your Life, right? We see that he has now decided to film with her. We start seeing screen grabs on blogs, and we start seeing, you know, pictures of him, and we start seeing him appear on red carpets with her. And we also see what he looks like now. And we're all thrown off because we were told that he was, you know, this Adonis, you know, this the finest man that had ever walked the earth and put on drawers. So we were like, you know, then we saw him and we was all like, okay. But again, Tamar, are you happy? We happy. Exactly. We just want what's best for you. You know what I mean? It ain't about how we feel about what you said being a lie when you said he was fine, because now that we've seen him, we see that he ain't. It ain't about that. We just wanted you to be happy, and so that's where we were. But it started, as soon as I saw him, I know I'm just going to speak for myself, I started to see differences and discrepancies in what Tamar had described him as and what he represented in her life and what I saw. Every time I saw them together on a red carpet, he was whispering in her ear or speaking to her as the paparazzi was trying to take pictures of her. It just seemed as if he was always finding a way to be in the camera, to be a part of where the attention was going, to be something that people were talking about. And that directly conflicted with what Tamar said about him not wanting to be in the spotlight, right? Enter the Get Your Life show. Now, a couple weeks ago, I asked Fran and Asante to watch this series. It's a 6-episode docuseries. The episodes aren't long, so it wasn't a heavy lift, right? But it was some of the most fascinating television that I had ever seen in my life, for several reasons. Number one, they consistently broke the fourth wall during this series, right? It wasn't so much about what the cameras were filming as much as the focus was on what happened while the cameras were attempting to film. And it told the backstory behind the intended story of what we were supposed to see, but it also told the story of why we did not end up seeing that. And that's what made it such a fascinating watch. Prior to the release of the trailer, I just want to give enough background so that people can navigate the rest of our conversation comfortably. So I just want to add a couple more things, and then I'm going to tap into what Fran and Asante have to say about what they saw, specifically two situations that kind of lived through the duration of the 6 episodes as running storylines. I'm interested on your thoughts, but just to give a little bit of background to the show, on Thursday, July 16th, WeTV, that was this year, earlier this summer, WeTV actually debuted the trailer for the Tamar Braxton Get Your Life series. And this super tease kind of offered fans a look at the upcoming series, and it showed that they were exploring Tamar's journey with motherhood, love, and her career as she recorded a new album. But I think that the focus on her experience with love is what stole the show, obviously, right? Because we got a firsthand glimpse into this relationship that was nothing like what we were told about. It's also of note that on Thursday, July 16th, that same day, Tamar was actually found unresponsive in a hotel room at the Ritz-Carlton in downtown LA by her boyfriend, David Adefeso, who called the police around 9:45 p.m. in the hotel at their location and said that his girlfriend had a medical emergency and she wasn't responsive. And he went into detail on the 911 call about her having a bad day with the network and being upset with WeTV about what happened. Just all these details that were so bizarre. Because normally when people find their loved one unresponsive, you know what I mean, on the floor, it's a bit more frantic and you're not thinking about networks and dropping names and things like that in the 911 call. But all of that happened, right? After the trailer came out, WeTV said that, you know, obviously Tamar wasn't well, and out of respect for her and what she had contributed to the WeTV network over so many years, they were going to delay the release of the series. Okay, they didn't say they weren't going to air it, they said they were going to delay it. They delayed it. In between the time that the show was scheduled to be released, we also know that on September 8th, this is before the show was released, David Adefeso filed a restraining order against Tamar and detailed a fight between them inside of his 2013 Rolls Royce that he informed as he drove. And apparently things became physical. A text was revealed later by Jason Lee. Shout out to Jason Lee at Hollywood Unlocked. And shout out to them for actually getting a new show on Fox Soul. They're doing major dope things over there. So shout out to Hollywood Unlocked.
Okay.
But Jason Lee also revealed that Tamar had sent him a text personally saying that David had began getting rough with her, grabbed her up tight, told her that it was going to be a murder-suicide in that car if she didn't chill. She showed pictures of a bruise on her arm. All of these things that were directly contradictory of the restraining order that David filed against Tamar. And Tamar actually said in these texts that David didn't want the show to come out on WeTV because he didn't want to look bad. So all of this happens before this series is released. So naturally, my interest was piqued and I wanted to watch this show. So I told you guys to watch it after I watched the show because I couldn't believe what I had seen. And there were just some moments that, you know, whether you love Tamar or hate her, these were things that weren't so much about Tamar specifically. They were just fascinating components to watch in a relationship between two people, right? And so let's talk about the show, you guys. I just wanted to offer that background information so that we can now have an informed discussion about what you witnessed during these six episodes. So you both actually watched the six-episode series Get Your Life, right?
Yeah. All okay. Six.
All six, it. Right? Because honestly, once you started watching it...
I only made it to the end of the third.
Oh, okay.
Oh, friend, you needed the resolution, friend. I couldn't do it.
It was bugging me out, man. I feel,
I feel you on that too. Oh, okay. So sorry, Dustin. I'm gonna let you.
No. I want to stay. Actually, that's right where I want to be. Right. Let's start there. Fran first, and then we'll get to you, Asante.
Come on.
Now, Fran, you said that you were only able to physically withstand three mm-hmm. complete episodes of this series. Why, Fran?
I'm not someone that has followed Tamar's career. I really yeah. only know about Tamar because of you guys, the clips that are shared online of like her and her sister singing when they yeah. were on the show. Like the daddy, 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 whatever the song was. And then, of course, Claude and Chuck have worked with her on her album. So I'm familiar of about her music through that. But with the show, I just kept seeing how people would cross her boundaries and kind of gaslight her and manipulate her out of like what she was feeling in the moment, and how it just kept happening, whether it was the boyfriends, the producers, you know, like it just was starting to kind of bug me out. But with him specifically, I think the part that bothered me was when she was doing the dream work. And whether you think that's woo-woo or hocus-pocus, like she was calling it, the fact of the matter is she was having revelations, you know, about herself. And it didn't seem harmful. I understand that if your partner is partaking in some kind of modality that you've never heard of, there's a party that's going to kind of want to protect them. I get that. But she's also a sovereign being that can make her own decisions. She's an adult. And she seemed genuinely excited about this. And I think what he was concerned about was what types of revelations she was going to have that were going to kind of make her see Wise things up. With more clarity and yeah. around like who's around her. And that's the part that triggered me. And I was like, I can't because I've been there. Especially when she was like, you know, it's something you don't understand. Why don't you come see what it's about?
And so before you go further, right? Just before you go further, I just want to just identify something. So what Fran is referring to is the fact that Tamar had hired a dream coach named Goalie Sammy, right? A woman who had helped people interpret what the dreams that they were having meant to their life.
Right.
What certain images that they would see while they dreamed represented, and kind of helped them get to just make some progress in working through certain things that
and looking through their subconscious. Yeah,
looking through their subconscious. Literally, she would encourage her clients not to eat, not to drink, not to have sex for 30 days.
And that
part
bothered me when when she told him, "I'm gonna need to go on a cleanse," and he was like, "Well, I can't, like, you can't because I need sex." And I was like, how childish. Like, could you imagine childish. You tell your partner I'm going through a spiritual fast that is going to have me remove drugs, liquor, and sex, and he's going to say no. That right there would be grounds for breaking up.
That wasn't even a red flag. It was a burgundy flag, okay?
Yeah, I would have been done right then and there. I've had a partner who was going through something similar, and he asked me, could we, and this is a previous partner who was like, could we go through a fast because I need to, like, work some things and recalibrate? And I was like, yes. I didn't even ask how long because there's nothing for me to ask. Like, if that's something you need to do for your spirit, who am I to tell you? But I need, like, what?
Yeah. And especially when, let's be clear, they were only in a relationship for about a year and a half. So it wasn't even a long relationship. And he was taking way too great of a stake in her personal and business affairs. And
he, in her house.
Her house. Her house. We'll get
asking
to that in a
about
minute.
Permission. I can't. I just
we're
have
gonna,
to
we're
say.
We're going to get there. These
director,
are the two things.
The director's so shady. Yep. And whose house are we talking about?
And whose house
are
we talking about? Oh, her house? Tamar's house? It's my house. I actually. So two of the things that we're going to discuss today are Asante. We'll discuss the blockage that David Adefeso was attempting to place in Tamar's life when it came to this dream work. And I also want to discuss him feeling entitled to her personal space in her home and feeling as if he could make rules about who could enter and exit the house that was hers, not his. So I think this is the perfect time for us to play a clip of David Adefeso, Tamar Braxton's boyfriend, discussing why he did not want Tamar's ex-husband, Vince, to enter Tamar's home that she purchased to drop their son together off. Here's what David had to say about that.
I prefer that my girl's ex didn't walk into my home without asking my permission. That's respect. That's basic respect.
So, which house is this?
Tamar's house? Oh, it's my house. I live there. I have my clothes there. Tamar and I kind of share. Her house is my house. She spends 4 days in my house. I spend 3 days in her house. We have two homes that we share.
Now,
it's the stutter for me.
It's the I have my clothes there for me. That I okay. So again, Well, just to catch everybody up to speed, that was a clip of Tamar's ex-boyfriend, David Adefeso, talking to producers on the show Get Your Life about why he had an issue with Tamar's ex-husband, Vincent Herbert, the father of her son, entering her home. Now, mind you, this is a home that she just purchased after she won, you know, a big bag on Big Celebrity Big Brother. She purchased this house
post-divorce.
Yep, post-divorce for her and her son, Logan.
So nice.
Before she met David, got with David. And then he has an apartment in downtown L.A. And apparently they were splitting their time, you know, as you do in a relationship. Sometimes you're at your house, sometimes you're at your partner's house. Mm-hmm. But he felt that it was appropriate for him to set rules that Tamar's ex-husband, Vincent Herbert, who was the love of her life, let's be clear, and who is the father of her son, cannot enter the house to drop off their son, Logan, or pick him up, cannot come in and out of the house, period, especially when he's not there. And also during that clip, there was some text on the screen that read that David had also said to the producers of the show and to WeTV that he would not appear in this series if Vince ever even physically appeared on camera on the show. David refused to participate in this series. Okay? So what are you guys' thoughts? How do you feel about David's A, explanation of why he felt like Vince shouldn't come in the house, and B, the fact that he took that authority to say, I'm mad at you, Tamar, because Vince has been in and out of my house, our house, my house. He calls it my house. How do you guys feel about that? Because I know how I do. Asante?
Well, let me rewind all the way back here now that I'm sweetie and I've tapped in. Mm-hmm. I love that you did a very great in-depth intro there. You touched on a lot of great things there because, you know, Tamar is someone that is very talented. It's been a journey watching her as a personality, just even as like a human being. So for me as a fan, I thought that I was getting a show about Tamar, you know, Get Your Life. I didn't know if it was something about her getting help or her getting back on track, or I just knew it was something about Tamar and she was getting, you know, Get Your Life. I knew it was getting somewhere. That's all I knew. Mm-hmm. So, you know, since we're on the rewind track, take me back to Big Brother. Tamar Braxton's in the house and she's literally, you know, all, you know, she's talking because, you know, everybody's filmed and they don't have access to the outside world, but we all get to watch them. So the entire time she's there, she's, you know, T'Challa this, you know, I know T'Challa's watching from home. Oh, T'Challa's probably doing this right about now. She was up there talking to Lindsay Lohan, mama Dina Lohan, about T'Challa, y'all. like I'm thinking about those moments. And so to go from there and to see those stories about, you know, the shit going down before the show dropped, and then to actually fast forward now, you know, for you watching the show, it was just such a crazy, eerie, like, that's why, friend, when you said you stopped on episode 3, it was hard for me to watch the whole thing because it was so heavy and distracting and it was just hard. Like, you both said very key things. Dustin, when you started with the breaking of the fourth wall, friend boundaries, these two things just stuck out to me so, so heavy the entire time. And all I could wonder to myself was, like, well, whose job is it to manage all of this? Because, yeah, we're breaking the fourth wall, but who manages the fact that Tamar actually needs to sit down with this life coach and get work done and not have to worry about her son in the background? Or she actually needs to, you know, put these certain things to the side so she's not on her phone in the middle of it. Like,
there was a lot of that was Tamar
because she's independent.
And because she did not want to, she didn't want to do the work and see what the outcome would be. There are certain things that she was running away from. And so she would use things like having to, quote unquote, put Logan to bed or having to, you know, talk to someone on the phone at that time to avoid having to record music, to avoid having to do this dream work with Joe, with Goalie, to avoid anything that would cause her to be in a position where she would have to make some serious decisions about things and people in her life. She ran from it every time. And that's a prime example of that, Asante. When you bring up the fact that she kept saying, I got to put Logan to bed. I need 5 minutes, which would turn into 2 hours. The crew would go home. They they would show on the series the crew, you know, literally waiting until the last minute, packing up equipment, going home. They even show one time that Tamar had actually had her lawyer call the production company and tell them that she wasn't filming today and they had to leave immediately.
Oh, yeah.
We saw those things happen on the show because of the fact that through this 6-episode docuseries presented by Mona Sky Young and WeTV, they intentionally broke that fourth wall. And I personally was glad that they did because it took away a lot of the guesswork when we would wonder why certain situations would happen, why things would be the way that they were. We actually got to see, you know, that sometimes it's Tamar.
So that's the thing, because they broke that fourth wall and it did give you clarity, which was good in some moments. But when I asked myself, like, whose job is it? I wonder, like, between production and Mona, like, whose job was it to pull these certain threads and say, all right, this is where we're going? Because Mona was really, you know, she was really trying to seem active in those scenes where she was there, like, you know, Tamar, we're going to do this. This is what we're going to take it by the rails and we're going to get back your life. But then we're left with Tamar just going off on Michael Beck. And, he, you know, I guess he's the EP. And how is he supposed to structure it? Because he feels like he's leveling with Tamar, but Tamar needed more structure. So whenever she's running, he needs to be, or somebody, I don't know if it's supposed to be him, or he communicates to Mona and they get somebody or what, to actually be like, all right, well, if we're going to do an actual show about her getting help or, you know, getting back on track, this is what we need, you know, we need to structure. So get her lawyer on the phone or whatever. It was just like everybody was kind of giving up. And kind of rightfully so. When that's why it was great that they were breaking the fourth wall to show you what the fuck was going on. Like, for example, when Goli suggested the break room and like she really just was trying to throw something out there so they could like make this come to life on TV. And Tamar was triggered by that. You know, she's like, I'm tired of looking angry. I don't want to, you know, be breaking stuff. But it was really just, you know, like, girl, breaking stuff represents spiritual stuff, not actually just being an angry black woman. Like, nobody was really connecting with her. They just tied up the loose end back in production by bringing on another black woman that was a producer on the show just by saying, like, well, we're not gaslighting her. You know, this is the truth. And it was like, all right, well, you know, we see, all right, damn, they weren't. You know, this is not what their intention was, but it was never like comfortable to go back for Tamar, and it was Tamar's show. So that's why I was kind of like, this is odd to watch. Like, I don't know where I'm supposed to sit on as far as even where the fence is here.
I felt the same way, and that's why I appreciated them breaking the fourth wall, because we then became privy to the decisions that were made, the phone calls that were made, the choices that were made. Fran, later on in the series, there was a conversation that took place between Mona Sky Young and Tamar about Tamar's commitment to being a part of this process and actually filming the documentary and giving access to certain things in her life, because there were scenes that Tamar had refused to allow the camera crew to come in. The audio still caught. Mm-hmm. We still heard David speaking to you wildly aggressive. We still heard y'all yelling no and stop to each other. We still heard him telling Goli, you will not, because obviously... Right. Let's be clear about this other thing. Goli being hired as a dream coach to work with Tamar. That's a complete sentence. OK, she wasn't hired to work with Tamar and David. David began to request one on ones with Goli so that he could question the source of her work and the source of her gift. And he continued to ask her if dream work was ever mentioned in the Bible. And he started questioning whether or not the work that she was doing was witchcraft. To a person who is not doing witchcraft, okay, and who's already doing some sort of work that people confuse the intention of, I completely understood why Goli was offended to the degree that she was by David saying that. I also understood why Goli was offended by David even feeling like he could request a one-on-one meeting with her. Right. When he, guess what?
Right.
She wasn't hired to work with you. You have nothing to do with this. And Goli began to get so frustrated with this. She was patient. She continued to try to answer his questions. She met up with him, told him it wasn't, you know, a work that was rooted in any sort of witchcraft, which is such a broad term that they were using and throwing around in this show.
Right.
But she told him, you know, no, that's not rooted in that. And he began to challenge her by saying, well, if you can show me where this is in the Bible, then OK. But it was him creating these, this false sense of accountability, you know, that on Goalie's behalf, and she had none. She wasn't accountable to David for anything. And the work, in fact, was making progress when it came to Tamar kind of working through some personal traumas that she had. And Tamar was amazed by the clarity that she felt. She was amazed that the way she was able to get on stage and perform at this live concert that she had after sessions with Goalie. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it seemed as if as Tamar progressed to being more and more clear from this work and working through things, David increased his aggressive stance toward Goalie and her work. He increased,
I don't like that.
He amped up the questions. He requested more and more time with her. And now I'm willing to meet with Goalie now one-on-one, and I'm willing to do this and that. And everything became more and more of a wedge. David became more of a wedge in between this work.
Because she was loosening his grip.
Thank you, Fran.
And that's the problem. And when someone that their sole motive is to have control, anything that gets in the way of that, you know, they're going to have to chop down somehow. And that's why it was like, you know, him calling it witchcraft when he hadn't even seen what it was.
Didn't see, didn't hear.
He didn't even sit in a session. Not that he even was warranted that, but still, right. Like, and I did appreciate that Tamar spoke up and said, just because it's not in the Bible and just because you don't understand it, does not mean that it's witchcraft. Everything you don't understand is not witchcraft.
And you know,
and I was happy that she said that. And you know, when they were at that restaurant, when they like reconnected after he bounced for the day, she did stand up to him, and I appreciated that. I was like, okay, he crosses her boundaries, but she does have her moments where she's just like, no, this Tamar, is what we're not doing.
Tamar had a really good conversation with Goalie too, where she like explained like half of the African American community, you know, believes or acts a certain way about stuff like that. And that's why she wasn't fazed by it. And honestly, right. I remember thinking to myself, did you see that scene where her and Goalie was sitting at dinner? Or I think that was episode 4.
I did. Yes.
I think that was episode 4.
I don't think I caught that.
Yeah. So episode 4 is when she sat down with Goalie and was talking. And honestly, I felt like that was where Goalie really should have quit. Because Goalie, I think after that is when she interpreted the last dream, Dustin. She interpreted another dream, and it really, in my mind, she was just calling out David in the dream as a figure, like what he represented. And I think he must have heard a sliver of that and thought that it was talking about him. And in fact, you know, it did hit that it really was him. And that wasn't even her intent, because really she had his number and he could see that. And she wasn't trying to call his number, but she was really just there for Tamar. And if his number came up in due time, he knew that was coming, and that's why he was acting the way he was acting. But I didn't appreciate the way that he was treating Goalie, because she was being so gracious the entire time. And she really could have just been like, well, I'm gonna have to charge for that too, since y'all wanna, you know, play games, because it's not about you and him. It's really just about you, girl. And if you don't wanna speak up, like, you're the one paying me, so I'll just go. And then she didn't even take accountability when old girl left. And I don't like that either. So what's next?
So Goalie quit.
Goalie quit. Yeah.
I mean, Goalie can't quit. Be mad at her.
It was a big blowout.
There was a huge blowout that got literally violent, vocally violent amongst the two of them. Goalie actually came to David's birthday party and got drunk because she was so miserable and so offended by David's treatment of her being cold.
She got drunk?
Yeah, wasted. She got drunk at David's birthday
and right
party.
So, and like,
what?
She should have gone.
All over the dance floor and everything.
And
was outside discussing how offended she was, but she just, friend, they had literally taken her. So she had never been around people like David and his family from Nigeria, who came over to Los Angeles for the 50th birthday party that Tamar threw for him at her home.
Oh, okay.
And David was repeatedly speaking with his brother-in-laws and his sister about how important Christ was in their life, and how this work that Goalie was doing with Tamar was of the devil and all this other shit. Yeah. So it got worse and worse. And Goalie, they just broke her. Tamar ended up sitting down with Goalie at a restaurant. And during that conversation, Tamar told Goalie that she felt like it was her fault. Tamar was saying that she accepted personal responsibility for Goalie being as upset as she was, because she felt like she had allowed David to have a say or a say so in the work that they were doing. Mm-hmm. And she said that she felt bad about that because she knows that the work that they were doing was not of the devil. And she was wanting to move forward with it. Whatever she said, you know, that was it. But it didn't end up going that way. And David went on to make further accusations of Goalie being involved in witchcraft and her work being of the devil. And it led to a vocal blow up between Goalie and David where she was, you know, saying, motherfucker, I didn't. She was like cussing him out. He was cussing at her. Wow. And it was just very, very volatile and unhealthy. And so Goalie
quit. And something happened in that room.
Yeah. They wouldn't allow cameras inside the bedroom, but you could hear the audio.
You got all the audio. So you heard a little
crashing,
shuffling,
bumping, uh-huh. Her yelling, David, stop, no, this, that. What? So we don't know what happened on the other side of the door, but we do know that it was a bad argument.
But and she Goalie came out quit. Like a G.
Yes, she did. And they weren't able to complete the work, unfortunately, that they intended on doing with one another, but she left. And so essentially, David won that. You know what I mean? And
he shouldn't have.
He should not have done that. And he even went on to try to address Mona Scott Young and tell her the difference between what authentic reality television was and what overproduced reality TV was. And Mona had to hit him with
let me
stop you right there. Okay. I'm very well aware of how this type of television works and what we need is this sort of participation from Tamar, blah, blah, blah. Mona also called Tamar into the offices to see some of the footage that they had recorded. Tamar wasn't necessarily the happiest with what she saw, but there was nothing she could do because it was honest footage. Mm. And so all of those things just kind of culminated to Tamar having a really, really hard breakdown. And as we know, she has since gone on to sever her relationship professionally with WeTV. They've released her from her contract. And her and David are no longer a couple. They have court cases pending.
Yes.
He put out a restraining order against her. They have to go into court for all sort of allegations that he's making against her.
Not good to the allegations, but good that there's a judicial wall between them.
I say the same thing, and then this happens, right, friend?
Okay.
So a couple weeks ago, Toni Braxton randomly posted an Instagram screenshot of a text that she wrote saying that David Adefeso was a snake, what did she call him? A ferret or something like that. She
said, what?
You know, stay away from my kids or whatever. Apparently,
ferret?
Yeah, she was like, you keep your kids out of, keep my kids out of this shit or whatever. Apparently, David had sent a process server or someone, a police officer, somebody to go and serve court papers against Tamar because he thought that Tamar was at Tony's house. Tony's children was there. This involved the police. And anyone, especially right now, would be sensitive about having young. You know, Tony has teenage black boys.
Yeah.
Anyone would be sensitive about the police coming up in your damn house at a time like this. And just why is this now spilling over into my family life, my home life? Toni Braxton is notoriously private. And so for her to make that kind of expression publicly, you know, everybody picked up the story. And once everybody picked up the story, two of the other sisters, Tawanda and Trina, both had said, you know, we think he's a loser. We don't understand why he's putting this thing out on our sister or whatever. He was wrong. We've never trusted him. You know, we think that he's a clout chaser, all this other shit. Tamar.
Oh, no.
Goes on to the internet. And posts, you know how Twitter gave us the option to make those voice notes, voice memos?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tamar posts one saying that, you know, when nobody was there for me, David was there for me.
Oh,
he's not a
boy.
Clout chaser, and I'm not trying to get back with him. I haven't talked to him since the incident when they had the altercation in the car, and he filed the restraining order and all that. She was saying how this ain't her trying to get back with him because she hasn't talked to him since then and don't want to, but she's the type of woman who has to be honest, and people who weren't there for her when they could have been are not going to come out and say that this man is a bad guy or whatever, and the things that they saying ain't true, and nobody wins when the family feuds, right? So what the fuck you want us to do? Okay, we didn't set up and watch this damn show, watch this nigga show his ass, be grossly disrespectful to you, interrupt all of your business practices. You have not gotten back on track from losing your job on The Real. You haven't. You haven't rebounded from your music sales declining. You haven't released any new music. There's been nothing And he has been impeding, intentionally impeding in those processes and being controlling over your life. We saw it on the camera. And now after your sister speak up for your behalf, which for years y'all have shoved this down our throat that at no matter what, at the end of the day, y'all are sisters and y'all can fight amongst each other. But when you need each other, you're going to be there for each other. And when they do that for you, you come out with something that is opposite of what they're saying. Right. That was step one. Step two. Couple days ago, the trailer for this season of the Braxton Family Values comes out, right? Season 8, they're about to air a new season. In the trailer, they're showing Tony, Tony's mom, Trina, and Tawanda, and I believe Tracy too, reacting to the news that Tamar had attempted suicide, right? And they're saying, you know, how they felt about it, and you know, I was here, and I tried to call this person, and I XYZ, they're each telling what happened, right? As the trailer comes out, mind you, none of this made Tamar look bad in any way. Trailer comes out. Tamar goes online, says, fuck WeTV, asks them in the tweet, literally, fuck WeTV. Once again, they're exploiting WeTV. Fuck WeTV. They're exploiting my pain again for ratings and personal gain. And they are lying. They didn't film. This is all reenactments. None of this was in real time. Blah, 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 blah. Then she goes and unfollows all of her sisters, her mother, on everything.
Damn.
Then sets up a tell-all interview on Tamron Hall, goes on Tamron Hall and says, you know, David was my best friend. He wasn't. I've been in a domestic violence relationship before I survived it, and this wasn't it. He wasn't a cloud to chase her. He was my best friend. He was Logan's best friend. And maybe he's saying these things about me because he failed me the way that he failed me. You say you have this footage, release it. I just have text messages. He was my best friend. No, he wasn't. It is so frustrating as a person who has been with this, been following this, been dealing with this story from step one all the way up until now, had Tamar's back, and every time we like, I got something to do with it, but every time people try to show her support, you know what I'm saying, she throws this curveball. Like, what do you want us to do? So it's just become exhausting because you want to see a person succeed and be healthy, okay? But it's like they continuously get in their own way. And what do you do? That is why I call this conversation the curious case of Tamar Braxton, because it's just so curious. I don't know what to do with my feelings about wanting to see her healthy and then see her do things and say things that are completely opposite of that. I don't know what to do as a fan anymore. And I just felt like, at least by watching these episodes, watching this footage, we would all be able to, maybe get a reminder of some shit that we know we ain't gonna take from nobody. B, maybe be able to do a self-check, like, well, I hope I haven't been exhibiting any sort of these, these characteristics, you know what I'm saying? And C, just realize that you're always one step away from complete and total dysfunction. I do think that Tamar had good intentions on having a healthy relationship with David. And I think she ignored a whole bunch of shit that she should have never ignored and just continued moving forward in the relationship. You watched her crumble on camera. You watched it happen. Okay, and so to see that and then to see her contradict that by going on Tamron Hall, and I love Tamron Hall. Y'all know I love Tamron Hall. But to see Tamar go on there and then create this new narrative that he ain't a bad person, but he almost beat me up, but he ain't a bad person, but I don't know why he's got me going to court and trying to say I assaulted him, but he ain't a bad person, but my family shouldn't have said nothing. It's just chaos and calamity. So I wanted to know you guys' thoughts on that. I'm so proud of you for soldiering through the 3 episodes that you did, Fran, and Sante, for you watching it. Because, again, I just felt like this was a great opportunity to get a glimpse into some behavior, whether it's good to you or bad, just behavior, to be observant and to make sure that we are doing our best to be healthy in our existence in relationships. Because what I saw in Tamar Braxton Get Your Life, rather, was not healthy. And it was not accurate According to the descriptions that Tamar had offered up to us on her personal life. So instead of casting judgment, I just want to wish the best for her. I wish her the clarity that she's obviously seeking, because you don't enter into relationships with people like a dream coach and share these really vulnerable personal things with them for no reason. She wants help. She wants to make some progress, mm-hmm. and she's crying out for help. You know, I do believe there's lots of people that want to help her, but I believe there's a level of honesty that Tamar is not able to reach yet. And I believe that Tamar is more interested in us believing her version of what we see going on in front of us, as opposed to accepting the truth of what we see going on in front of us. And I pray that she arrives at that place of clarity and becomes healthy from this. I pray that she strengthens her family relationships. I pray that she's able to continue being a good mom to her son. And I pray that she's able to find professional fulfillment and create and be an artist and a personality like we all know that she loves being, because she's a natural at it. And so, yeah, I just thought it would be interesting, and it was just a fascinating watch for me on TV.
And hopefully her seeing it, her watching it. Sometimes, I know even with me, this particular relationship I was in, that was very similar as far as the control issues. Sometimes when I would say things about that relationship, like talking about it, I will be shocked. I'll be like, girl, like, you ever been in that position where you'll be telling a story and you don't realize how crazy you sound until you say it? And then you're like, what the hell? What was I thinking?
I do.
How was I in that for so long with those behaviors and that dynamic and that type of control and being spoken to like that? The shit that you allowed, and it's just like, whoa, like sometimes just saying it out loud. Very similar to Tamar, because we can lie to ourselves way better than anybody else can.
Yep.
Exactly. You know,
sometimes you don't even need the other person to lie. You're already doing it for them. Yep. And I think that that's kind of what the show showed, especially even with the music. When she, like, the producer came to her house because she was so shy. He's like, I will cater to you. Brought all his stuff. And then she starts cooking. And then she starts, what's her son's name? Logan. Telling him to sell chocolates. Remember to sell chocolates in the middle of the
completely just diverting from the intention of them being there over and over and over.
I mean,
over
it was like, but that's the thing. Those behaviors will transcend all things, because it's going to show up in the music. Then it showed up in when you remember they're doing the dream work. And there was one dream where they were getting really deep in, and she was like, no, I'd rather that door stay closed. I mean, she said it right there.
Yep.
I'd rather that door stay closed. And that, to me, said everything. That was the root of all of her issues, is she just does not want to look in. And hopefully the show helps her.
Fuck David. He ruined it. He ruined it. I mean,
hey man, his whole family.
Honestly.
Damn, the family too.
Yeah, because his whole family. Then the uncle gonna show up talking about, the moment I heard you say dream work, I knew it was witchcraft.
Oh gosh.
No. Goodbye.
And y'all know I've been through that. I couldn't even mention yoga on Facebook. With all the aunties over there, people would be like, that's of the devil, friend. You should be ashamed that you're sharing this with your, you know, with your supporters and bringing the devil into their homes. And I'm like, yo, when does stretching bring in the devil? Stretching. Like, what? It's so scary. It's scary.
Meanwhile, they don't even work out. So if anything, gluttony is a real sin. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Don't get me started on the attacks I've had to push through because of my belief systems not aligning with other people's belief systems, and people, instead of just honoring where everyone is at, yours is witchcraft.
Right. What kind of shit is that? Now, that don't mean that I'm going to let you go to no midsummer shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
You know, like, I give you your space, girl. I respect
not
you.
Really.
Is this week three, week four?
But I ain't going to let you go over there to midsummer. You know what I'm saying? But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people being extremists. And just because they don't have an understanding of something, they automatically deem it wicked. And that's just not right. The case.
Yeah. So, shout out to my friend Raven. I saw her tweet the other day, not y'all at church drinking the blood of Jesus, but saying that my shit is witchcraft.
Right.
Wow. She was like, fair is fair.
Let's be clear, okay? Let's start there, okay? But anyway, like I said, I just thought that was something that would be interesting and also beneficial for us all to watch. I encourage all our listeners, download the WeTV app. I believe it's offered there.
Mm-hmm,
Google it. Y'all know how to find shows online. So Google it and just watch it. 6 episodes, man. It really makes you want the best for Tamar in spite of all the calamity that you see going on in these 6 episodes.
And everyone who sees themselves in it.
And everyone who sees themselves in it. There you go, friend. I just thought that it was conversation worthy. So that's it for The Curious Case of Tamar Braxton.
If you're feeling overwhelmed, Talkspace is on a mission to make therapy affordable and accessible for all, because we all need extra support to feel our best. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and much, much more. No matter what, Talkspace will find you the perfect therapist for your goals. Plus, Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, and you can send unlimited messages to your therapist 24/7, and they'll engage daily, 5 days a week, completely up to you. The bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to. Talkspace wants to give us the support we deserve at a price we can afford. And as a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month of Talkspace. So to match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. And then make sure to use the code ZONE to get your $100 off. That's ZONE at Talkspace.com.
HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, lets you skip trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. And you can save 40% by using HelloFresh versus shopping at your local grocery. HelloFresh offers more than 20 chef-crafted delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut, try new things, and make any night feel special. There's something everyone will enjoy, including 20-minute meals, low-calorie, vegetarian, family-friendly recipes, and more. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. And HelloFresh's carbon footprint is 25% lower than grocery-made meals. And HelloFresh is committed to donating meals to those in need. So far, in 2020 alone, they've donated 3.5 million meals. I think that it's convenient, especially in a time like now, that you can get your groceries delivered. And with HelloFresh, you get it delivered at an affordable rate and it have a low carbon footprint. So you're doing what's good for the earth and you're staying home. What more can you ask for? So go to HelloFresh.com/FriendZone90 and use code FriendZone90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/FriendZone90 and code FriendZone90 to get $90 off, including free shipping.
30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. Over 30 million women, you guys. Now, if you happen to be among them, you should know that you're not alone, because A, I'm bald too. And B, there's a solution that you can trust to deliver results. Thousands of women have taken back control over their hair with Nutrafol, with many users raving that the supplement not only transformed their hair, but restored their confidence too. Nutrafol offers 2 targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth takes time, and you'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the 5 root causes of thinning, which are usually stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. as Nutrafol's powerful ingredients bring your body back into balance. You may also notice improvements to your overall well-being, including more restful sleep, less stress, and better skin, nails, and libido. More than 1,500 top doctors recommended Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. You can grow thicker, healthier hair, and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code FRIENDZONE, and new customers will get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere, you guys. Plus free shipping on every order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com, and that's spelled NutraFol.com. Promo code FRIENDZONE. 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 And now let's bring in the motherfucking wind chimes.
So this week is something else. I don't even want to mention it because I don't want to give it that any of it too much power. By the time you guys are listening to this episode tomorrow, there's going to be a result. Or maybe not. We don't know. Everything's pretty up in the air. But what matters to me is the self-care that is taking place today, because this is Tuesday night technically, so we're in the thick of it, as well as just for the rest of the week, and the fact that we're officially in the last quarter of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, we are closing out this 2020. So I'm curious, especially tonight, how are you guys taking care of yourselves? What is your self-care plan tonight? Are you going to be glued to the internet? Are you going to be refreshing CNN? Or are you just going to disassociate and do other things like the sidewalk or whatever it is that disassociating comes with?
Yes. I will be watching CNN because I definitely want to be aware of what's going on. I want to be abreast of, you know, what the results are as they're coming on in. I am not going to overwhelm myself with bad news and negative energy. You know, I just want to know what's going on and be informed. So I will be, you know, dosing. I'll be taking, you know, small doses of information. I will be enjoying the sidewalk. Microdosing. For real, but microdosing and, you know, just enjoying the company of loved ones. And that's it. That's all I'm going to do tonight. I just want to take the information in. That's it.
I will be disassociating. I will.
Real.
I did my part. I showed up, you know. I did what I was supposed to do. I hope everybody did what they could. A lot of people said they voted early and they was, you know, damning me for voting the day of, but I made it. So, you know, hope y'all did too. Outside of that, I'm praying for the best. And, you know, I matched my prayer with some action. So, you know, hopefully my results come through.
Do you remember 4 years ago when we were all at Crystal's house?
I do.
Right?
And I really didn't believe that. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't believe that what was happening was happening.
I remember we stood up and we all yelled and mm-hmm. we just stood there with our hands over our faces like in mm-hmm. pure disbelief. Remember I had my crystals and everything, like out. We were just going through it that night. All of us were, like literally all of us were together at Crystal's house. So it's interesting how 4 years later, now we're all like distanced from each other.
Right.
You know, can't even see each other because of this pandemic. And then on top of everyone trying to process the changes that are going to be taking place. For me, I am absolutely disassociating. No question about it.
Yes.
Even just me kind of tapping into Twitter earlier today and seeing how there's a lot of panic. A lot of fear mongering, too. You know, I saw someone post like a list of like a first aid kit to pack, you know, telling you to pack a weekend bag. Like, do you have your gun? This, that, and the other. Granted, okay, that's a checklist that, you know, you can't knock. Maybe someone will feel safer and more secure having all of that. But for me, it just felt, I was like, okay, y'all, like sharing that kind of information just felt really overwhelming. And so, yeah. the best that I could do was I did see Dr. Joy. Shout out to Dr. Joy. Who
Love yes, Dr. Joy. Thank Black, you, Dr. Joy.
Thank you for your work. Her Black, what is it? Therapy for Black Girls. She has, unfortunately, it'll be over by the time you guys are listening to this, but she created a self-care room that has game night, journaling, guided meditations, chats. It's like an all-day room from 11 a.m. till like midnight.
Love it.
And it's basically just tapping in, you know, with each other and in a healthy way, because that's the thing with disassociating. It's not just about getting fucked up and pretending shit ain't happening, but it's because that ain't going to help nobody as much as we enjoy doing that. But I like that she's... It's a healthy disassociation where you can really tap into what you're feeling and process it in community, which we've talked about the importance of community in times like this. So shout out to Dr. Joy for always being a pillar of the community, especially the mental health community. So I would be more along, you know, those lines, just burning my resins, listening to my music, eating my good ass food.
Yes, friend.
Checking in on my friends, because I'm sure we're all going to be texting each other throughout the night and tapping into how each other is feeling, make sure everyone's good. But outside of that, I'm definitely not going to really be tapped into the news or the internet, just because that's my sanity. I can't, I don't, I have no interest in keeping up with it. Like whatsoever, because it's just gonna be what it is, and I think if you're alive, you know, we can't control it at this point. So what you can control is how you allow the news to control your day. So
that's
just
real.
Wanted to check in with you guys. Those of you listening, definitely share with us on Twitter, SoundCloud comments, and however else you reach us, what your self-care plan was for today or where you tapped in. I saw someone share a GIF where they were like, in the morning, they were like, I'm going to unplug from, you know, the internet for my mental health. And then they showed a GIF of them secretly scrolling on their bed.
Because that's how it's going to be, shit.
Yeah.
I just want to know. Scrolling.
I just want to know what's going on. I just want to stay abreast of what's going on, but I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to oversaturate myself with unnecessary.
You know your limits.
Yeah, I'm going to, exactly. I know my limits. That's it.
Yeah. So definitely tap in with us and let us know, even just your self-care plan for the week. Because honestly, whichever these results go, this week is going to be a doozy. This month, the rest of this year, the next 4 years. So tap in and let us know how you're feeling. Are you disassociating? I can't get the word out. Or are you scrolling and staying abreast of the information? Mm-hmm. And that's it for this week's wellness segment. Mr. Music Man, what you got for us this week?
All right. It's the Music Man segment, and it's another week with a lot of music that's been happening.
Man. So
of course, we recorded on a Tuesday. Last Tuesday, the BET Hip Hop Awards actually aired. And there were a lot of performances and cyphers and just, you know, cute little things that I want to touch on really, really quickly. Mulatto actually did a performance. She did a
Big
little medley. Oh, that's right. Big Lotto. She did Youngest and Richest, Bitch from the South, and Moo-Wop. And she killed it. She looked great. Gucci came out for Moo-Wop. I'm loving everything that's happening for Mulatto. She's having a great, great time glowing up. You know, she actually started off on reality TV way back in the day. She was on Jermaine Dupri show. Like,
when he was looking for an artist?
Yeah, and Mulatto was on there. Like, she was young.
Holy
she
shit.
Was super, super young. And she already young. But she was on the show. It was called The Rap Game. And,
oh, wow.
Yep. On Lifetime.
See, that's how when people be like, oh, there's so many rap girls, you know, they just coming out of nowhere. I'm like, no, a lot of these girls have been grinding. And it just happens to be that the portal was open where they can get through, actually, you know, because look at, just because we just heard them don't mean they haven't been out here putting 10, 15 years in, even as teenagers. So I'm glad to hear that.
That's right. That's right. So the bitch from the South did her thing. She looks great. She really popped out on them. It's a nice little glow up. She's been on a spree, really killing features and also dropping her own tracks, killing it. So just want to make sure I forgot
that was the album name. I was like, not you calling her the bitch from the South.
I mean, well, you know, that was one of the like, what would I just, you know, I mean, I would anyway. Okay. So last week we talked about Ty Dolla $ign. He performed with Big Sean and Jhené Aiko, Body Language, and they all look great. You know, I always loved Jhené and Sean together. The 2088. I don't know when we get another album, but we need another album.
Sean, they're working on it.
I just love their, like, everything about their aesthetic, sonically and visually. Like, just dope.
Like that woo-woo love.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. Now personally, ain't none of my business. You know what I'm saying? I try to take what I can from the music. But outside of that, I ain't trying to step out of line because, you know, they post their things on social media. And some artists, I just try to stay away from. And it's no shade to either one of them. But there was just a time where there was mystique. So I just try to provide that for myself when given.
You know, I've never listened to that album.
The 2088?
Never.
Ooh.
It's good, friend.
You.
I'm sure it is. I don't know why I never felt called to it. But I need to just, like, sit with it.
It'll still be a nice treat. I promise you. Like, even today, like right now, even tomorrow, even probably at the top of the year, probably next summer, it'll still vibe.
It's just timeless. Well, I'll definitely, in my disassociation today, I will definitely rap, you know, go ahead and listen to that project.
And if you even want to, because, you know, I'm all about the YouTube now, you know, the algorithm might not help you out, but go ahead and check them out on the YouTube just so you can go ahead and look the videos too. Also, there's a couple more performances I might go back to, but the cyphers were happening. There was a cypher with Ade, Buddy, Flo Milli, and Deontay Hitchcock. I definitely want to shout that out because I have to give praise to my girl Flo Milli. She's been out here doing her thing. Ade and Buddy did their thing too, but I just really want to shout out Flo Milli. Flo Milli, you know, that's my girl. You know, she represented from Mobile, Alabama. We talk about girls from the South. You know, that's the South right there too. I've just been feeling her. I talked about her on this show. People, y'all know what's up. She looked great. She killed her part on the cypher, and it was the shit. Also, since we're talking about the South, Deontay Hitchcock, who finalized that cypher, he's from Atlanta, Georgia, just dropped a project. He did a really, really great job, and I wanted to make sure I shout him out as well. Deontay Hitchcock. I don't think I've talked about him on the show here before, but I'm probably going to talk about A Song for Listens lately for him. There were other cyphers. Notably, I want to make sure I shout out Rhapsody because she killed hers. I also want to shout out Chica because, you know, that's the homegirl and she always
Chica! Shuts
the fuck down. Why we both scream Chica?
Because Chica always shuts the fuck down. Chica always shuts it the fuck down. So I want to make sure.
Chica's funny as hell. Y'all follow her on Twitter.
Of course. Hilarious.
I promise you.
She needs a fucking TV show. Like, I'm talking like Adult Swim style. Like, she's I don't know. Funny, I want to see her on with Snoop Dogg smoking. Like, she's amazing at every fucking thing she does. So shout out to Chica. And I also want to just give a special shout out to Flawless Real Talk because he was on that Netflix show that I liked and he killed his part in the cypher. Lots of wonderful
last
treats.
Name Bardu, first name Erica.
Yes, that's right.
Erica, that was tight.
Erica killed that cypher. They had Brandy's I Want to Be Down playing. Was it I Want to Be Down or was it
yeah, because it was kind of like the I Want to Be Down remix with Queen Latifah. And Yo-Yo. Yes. And who else is on it?
So the updated version is Teyana Taylor. Her and Brandy was still on there with Erykah Badu. So if y'all haven't checked that out, y'all definitely have to check that out to hear Erykah Badu kill it.
Yo, Erykah's verse, let me tell you how many times I played that back to back.
I heard Michelle Obama so cool. Mama had a verse on there too in the cypher.
Michelle Obama Mama.
Wasn't she in the cypher too?
No.
She was killing me because.
Yeah, let y'all know.
You know, Erykah was sounding so. Erykah was sounding so Andre 3000 to me. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I love like that.
You know, when
speaking
they do
of
that.
Andre 3000, shout out to DJ Josh J out of Atlanta, who had an incredible Andre 3000 costume for Halloween this year. Shout out to Josh.
Yes.
That's the homie. I will. I'm going to show it to you. It was so dope. But he did. He was Andre
3000. Shout out to Andre 3000 just because.
Just the fuck because.
Just because it's Tuesday.
Icon, okay.
Yes, they both also they deserve shout outs. Awesome DJ, awesome in music.
Oh wow, yeah, that is dope. That's crazy.
Yep, he did an incredible Andre 3000. So shout out to you, Josh J, super talented homie. DJ and ass.
For real, for real. And he has a show on SoundCloud where he does a mix. He talks in it. So make sure y'all check him out on SoundCloud if y'all want to hear some mixes too. Okay. Last couple things I want to talk about with the hip hop, the BET Hip Hop Awards. City Girls, they killed it. They did a performance of Kitty Talk and Jobs. They JT and Carisha.
They're so cute.
They are so cute. They looked like they were having so much fun.
They were.
Looked great. Yay. I mean, it was a great performance all around. So
and
I
that
just,
was a production too, by the way. They had super some money. That production. Was a budget behind that production.
Come super on,
production.
Corey,
all those costuming and shit. I love the City Girls shit.
Yes, they definitely like.
I do. I've been loving the City Girls from
I
day
love
one.
Them too. I love That's their personalities sick. Though, because I'll be honest, I don't know their music like that except for the singles that have dropped, obviously, but their personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, especially their relationship with Santana and just the love banter. It. Like, they're just love funny it. As hell.
They are amazing. And they continue to be amazing with their performance. And they continue to be amazing with the songs they just dropped. But we're going to come back to that in just a moment. I want to make sure I shout out the performance because they did such a great job. But the last performance that I want to shout out was I want to make sure I shouted out Tobin Weekwake. Hope I'm pronouncing your name right, because you have an extended version and I really can't pronounce that version, but you know, you was just really getting it in on the show, so I had to make sure I shouted you out, because the performance of the night really, really, really had to go to him. He did like a medley of songs, or Try Jesus. And
he's so talented.
So talented, great, like beautiful set, beautiful
the aesthetics too, the like colors. All his visuals are just always so dope too, like he really knows what the fuck he's doing.
Oh my god, like always. So I just had to make sure, like, if you saw his name and you didn't click on the video, you need to go back and do it. You're making a huge mistake. And if you're wondering why I'm saying that, you're like, you're an idiot. Of course I clicked it. Then you're on the right track. And then I'm being stupid. And I'm
so
happy.
He has a song with PJ. Did you see?
I didn't see the song with PJ, but I've been watching some of his. I've been going back and going to some of the visuals I've been missing. Like, I didn't see he had a song with Paul Wall. Like, I've been missing out on some shit. So I got to go back into the vault.
Yeah, it just dropped this week. And it's called Ashamed with PJ Morton, and they have a visual for it. Super dope too. Super cool to see PJ in that aesthetic, because it's so different from his, but the song is great and they sound great.
Well, that's it. I wanted to make sure I gave a quick rundown of the BET Hip Hop Awards. Really fast, doubling back to songs that came out. I want to start out with City Girls, Flute Out. It's a song that they have featuring Lil Baby. There's a video out. Again, they look great. It's great production, great visual. I have to shout them out because, you know, we talk about how much we love the City Girls, and I just want to share my vision because, you know, after we manifest things here on this show, and, you know, I have a wild, vivid imagination, and sometimes things are going to happen, and I want them to happen because I said that they happen, and maybe they're just going to happen because they're supposed to happen, but shit, here we go. City Girls, I cannot wait for y'all to release solo music and still make music together just to show how y'all both be killing shit. So I don't know at the top of the year or sometime next summer if y'all going to start dropping like solo shit and then seeing like who going to kill shit and then like coming back and talking shit to each other on the track. Like, I think that would just be cute somewhere down the road. I don't know. I just can't wait to see that because we're at this point to where people are always, and some may have always said they want to see one or the other solo. So I think that they're both so strong that it'd be dope to see them solo, but still say, well, we are still a group, so don't get it fucked up, you know, City Girls for life, period. But we so tough that, you know, sometimes we just want to get on shit here and there because this is what we want to do solo to show y'all who the fuck we are. But we still them bitches together, like Voltron. So that's it. That's really what I wanted to get into for that. Now we can just really move on into the listens lately. So I really want to get into y'all's boom boxes and figure out what y'all been rocking.
Boom boxes.
You know, when I was back home in Atlanta, I got to look at all my old shit, and I found where I had my old like Sony CD player. I had an old Zoom player. I had an old like a Samsung flip phone, and on the top it had like the pause and play and shit. I was like, these phones are all useless today. Like, all these devices are gonna be laughed at today. Yes. But friend, what have you been listening to lately? I needs to know.
I checked out the Omarion project. It's called
Omarion.
The Connection, but it's spelled KINECTION. And I listened to it.
They spell what? How you spell it?
KIN E-C-T-I-O-N, like kinetic. It's about kinetics? Connection. Yeah.
What do he know about? Here we go again with the Ben Carson shit, doing something you ain't got no business doing, talking about some shit you ain't got no business talking about.
We don't know what Omarion knows.
We let him slide with Icebox, knowing he ain't never took no HVAC, no refrigerating, cooling, no trade classes, nowhere. You ain't got nobody's journeyman's card, no certificates, no, none of that. But okay, Omarion, kinetics, let's go.
So, connection. And I listened through it, and there's some gems on it. I haven't actually, I realized too that I hadn't actually sat and listened to an Omarion project in hella long. Probably not since his Icebox days, truth be told.
Now, that was the jam.
Right, when he was working with the Clutch.
I'm with you when you're right. Icebox was the shit.
Shout out to the Clutch. But he did have a song in it that I really enjoyed called In It. Did you hear that one, Asante? In It.
Actually, like London people. London people be like, In It.
I just knew he was going to say it.
You are just... And so, Omarion.
They do. Y'all know London bloke. Y'all know them blokes be like.
Now I can't say the title.
They be like, In It. They be like, In It. I love it. That's some London shit. I'm with it. What up, London? What up? LDN. I fuck with London. Hire me for some, book me for some shit in London. Hire me, London. I want to come over there and fuck with y'all, man. I will wear my mask.
Whoa.
In it,
and this is how it goes.
On the balcony, the private suite is way up. Far as I can see, I got a clean layup. I can hit it from the night till the day of. She can stay the night if she can make it stay up. She acknowledging a nigga cause I'm paid up. But you a college chick, you need to get your grades up. I ain't interested by all the shit you made up. I just really wanna see what you made up. I let her fuck, she fucked the love, to be honest. She fuck it up, I fucking love when she performing. When I'm on it, excuse me, when I'm in it, that's better. When I'm in it, hey. 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 When I'm in it, when I'm in it, when I'm in it,
when I'm in it, hey.
I hate Justice so much.
I know, because you ruined it. Now I can't so say much. It without hearing in it. When I'm in it. But is that song not dope, though?
It is. It's very
just,
dope.
It's a vibe. It feels good. It kind of reminds you of that. It reminds you that Omarion can sing. He has a nice tone, you know? And I think... I remember you saying, Asante, that you were kind of disappointed in this project because you felt like he was trying to be too, like, hanging with the new kids.
Eric Bellinger was the name I couldn't think of when I was saying that. But there was a song that he had out, and I was like, you trying to be like Eric Bellinger in that camp? And
which is crazy because most people are trying to be like Omarion from back in the day. So everyone's just chasing each other. And it's just like, just make what you make. Because I love Omarion's voice. And I think this track stood out to me from the whole project. Because it just felt more like him. And I'm talking shit because I don't know Omarion. I don't know what feels like him. This could very well be what he wants to make. But I did like this track. And it was my personal favorite.
I want
to
see him dance to it.
I mean, I too would like to see that.
Because Omarion, I'm going to tell you something. That is a dancing machine.
Oh, what? Okay,
he can dance his
ass. A performer now.
He's a full performer.
And when I went to that damn, what was the concert that they had? The B2K concert. What was it called? The Millennium Tour. Yep.
Yeah.
When I went to that tour, you could see the difference between Omarion, Mario, and some of the other people that were a part of that tour, because those two were seasoned performers.
Entertainers.
The polish, the level of showmanship that they exhibited on stage, it was just different from the other people that were there. And you could tell Omarion has really been serious about his craft. He's had hits. he's legitimate and he's talented. So I'm
and
B2K shit,
was
I
massive, you know, mm-hmm. like they was doing massive ass tours. So
that song, Can You Hear Me Now, with T-Pain, that was, I think, the first single off this project. When I heard this, when I heard that song, I remember being like, yeah,
okay,
Can You Hear Me Now? I remember being like, oh shit, like Omarion got some, like, that's some shit right there, because it felt mm-hmm. very like, I hate to say it, but it felt very organic. It felt like very like, you know, Omarion on some move something shit, and then he working with T-Pain, and neither one of them trying. They just sound like they like themselves. Like T-Pain had a smidgen of auto tune, and that player like three rings and, you know, whatever facade he had going on, it sounded very much like themselves. So when I hear him kind of branch off, it would be cool if it felt like an evolved sound, but it just felt like not necessarily throwaways, but somebody else is doing this. So like, why? But I need to go back and sit with the whole album all over again.
He got a song on there with Wale that's dope too.
Mutual.
Yeah, I think that's a nice song too.
That's one of my hearted songs. I need to go back and listen to it.
See, you felt it. It's one of those, you know, when you're doing that quick listen through, you kind of see the ones that jump out. And in it, and Mutual jumped. I can't say it now. Mutual jumped out.
We'll never look at it the same.
Ever. And so the second song I want to highlight today. So you mentioned Mulatto, but there's an artist producer named Mulatte. I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's spelled M-O-O. L-A-T-T-E, and they have a song with my
hell
fave.
No, Moo Latte.
I knew you were gonna do this. I knew it.
Moo Latte. Okay. All right. No, we know you. We know you don't need no non-dairy creamer. Okay.
Wow.
And they have a song with my fave, my forever fave, Iman Omari. And the song is called Movement. And this is, and I found it through my Release Radar playlist. Shout out to Spotify for that. And this is how it goes.
All the vibes I'm approving. Come get right with the movement. Don't be scared, don't you do it. If you're not sure, improve it.
Love Iman Omari's melodies and his harmonies. He could sing about trash bags and I'll be happy. He's just that good. He's so dope, man. I'm like such a fan of his. His voice is so beautiful. So Mulatte and Iman Omari, and the song is called Movement. And then right, and those are my two picks for today.
All right, all right. Dustin Ross, what you got?
Shout out to Kid Fury. Shout out to T.S. Madison. This one's from Miami.
I was like, they got a song? What the fuck?
I was like, damn.
But they had one. I bet you it would sound like this. Shout out to Miami. This one is for y'all. This is DJ Uncle Al. Bass is going to blow your mind with a legendary intro. When you hear this song start off, if you know, you know. Here we go.
What do you want?
That's all I'm gonna give y'all this week. You know what I'm saying? We done been through a lot.
Them dancing.
We done been through a lot. This is a crazy week. I wanted someone with good energy to give us up and invigorated and with hell the shit yeah. and dancing, because we're going to dance our pain away. and in fact, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, you got something else for us. I know that ain't all you got.
Yep.
The second rock song, it don't stop.
The second song in the vein of posting and sharing good energy music and upbeat music. To help us dance our pain away, why not play the song by DJ K-Swift? Rest in peace to K-Swift. But this song is called Dance My Pain Away. And this one goes out to Baltimore. Shout out to B-More. Everybody out there, this one is for y'all.
I got problems. Dance my pain away. I got problems. Listen to my story, bill collectors on me, have to file bankruptcy, need some help from somebody, yonder bills are stacking up, I'm desperate to make a buck, I played the lottery today, won't you please wish me
I'm
luck?
I'm gonna dance my pain away, I got problems, dance my pain away, I got problems.
Yes.
Dance my pain away. I got problems.
Dance my pain. Shout out to
that's
one
a
of my,
real ass song.
Hell yeah. Dance my pain away by K Swift, DJ wow. K Swift. Hell rest yeah. in peace to K Swift.
R.I.P. for real. I
shout out problems. To my okay, like whoa, whoa yeah.
now
shout
I
out
got
to,
problems. Whoa, whoa,
yeah. My dear friend DeAndre Moore, shout good. Out to DeAndre Moore from Detroit, because DeAndre used to play them club mixes and shit back in the day when I lived in Detroit. I remember one time people used to always ask him like, who is that? You know, because it would be like mixes and shit. And so one day somebody asked him, hey, who is that song you playing? And DeAndre was like, K-Swift, shit, and pulled off. Shout out to DeAndre. You probably won't even hear this, but shout out to DeAndre Moore. They're my two picks for the week. DJ Uncle Al, motherfucking Bass Is Gonna Blow Your Mind, and K-Swift, Dance My Pain Away, because we gonna be all right. Thank you.
Well, amen. There was a lot of music that I listened to. I'm just going to share one song and then I'm just going to, you know, call out the rest. And hopefully if you get to it, you get to it. But in the event that you don't, you know, hopefully it'll give us a little run back. But the song that I want to shout out is Gwen Bunn. She dropped this song over a month ago. And I think I don't know if I shout it out, but I meant to shout it out. But Gwen Bunn dropped a song with Faith Evans and it's called Between the Lines. And it's mm-hmm. so pretty. And I liked it and I just forgot to share it. So here it goes. So that right, you know, that little Lokuin, you know, do a little something to me, you know. I just really enjoyed that. So I like Gwen Bunn. I've enjoyed her before. I think I've shouted her on the show before, but that song has Faith Evans on it, and I cut it off right at a you know snippet of Faith Evans, because it's always good to hear, you know, some of the old school doing a little bit of the new school, but you know, still staying true to what they do. So that was what I wanted to share as far as what I'm listening to, as far as what I want to play, rather. But if you really want to get into what I'm listening to, I Oh, actually, well, no, I'm not going to play it. But like I said before, Deontay Hitchcock, he dropped a project. It's called Better. It's a deluxe version of, you know, his project. But it's got a lot of great features on there. But he is just a really, really, really dope rapper. But if you're in it for the feature game, JID's on there. Young Nudie, Ro James, who we love here. Kenny Mason, Reason, Black, Guap Dad 4000. There's just a lot of great people. Saint Beauty. I mean, just amazing features on here. It is actually the 10 tracks from the original version, and then there's 10 more tracks from, since it's the deluxe. So you get a total of 20 tracks in case you never checked out this project or in case it's your first time checking them out. Also, lastly, I wanted to shout out, because I talked about them so much and I didn't want to play more music because I feel like I played a few of their songs. Good Girl, they've dropped their project. Good, and the project is called Good Girl. They're a girl group out of Philadelphia. The YouTube algorithm finally gave me a little bit of an origin. In 2016, they were on America's Got Talent. They performed in front of Simon Cowell and company. And they did an okay job to Simon. And, you know, he was like, you know, in case y'all get to the next level, I'm going to want more from you. And they were just like, okay. I did not watch to see how far that they made it on the show, because fast forward to 2020, they look great, sound great. They've given me great visuals. And now they've given me 8 great songs. So check out Good Girl's project, Good Girl. And they have a ton of visuals out already. There's only one feature on the project, by the way, and that's with Mulatto, and that's called Thirsty. And there's already a visual out for that song.
These bitches so thirsty. Hey.
See, there you go. Boom. Rick
Fury played that for me and put me up on. So
see, know. So shout out to Good Girl. They them bitches. Fuck with them over here. Family all around. And that's gonna do it for the Music Man segment. Now I want to go on ahead and give it on to TV Land. Dustin Ross, what else have you been watching outside of Tamar Braxton Get Your Life?
A lot of good stuff has been on television lately, but you're on your own to find it. The one thing that I do want to talk about is The Real Housewives of Potomac. So two things. Let's just talk Real Housewives this week. Again, remember, we're all going to watch this upcoming first season of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City as a family. Is going to be something that we discuss here on The Friend Zone.
I'm down.
Again, that premiere is coming up within the next 2 weeks. Look out for that on Bravo TV. Speaking of other premieres on Bravo TV, the trailer for The Real Housewives of Atlanta season 13 premiered last week. We do know that it is coming. There are only 5 peach holders this year. That's different because they haven't had only 5 peach holders since season 2 of the show. There's always been 6 and or 7. So the peach holders that are returning this year are none other than Cynthia Bailey, my girl, Portia Williams, Candy Burris Tucker, and who else is coming back? Kenya Moore. The new peach holder is Drew Sidora, actress.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Actress and performer, I guess. Does she sing too?
I don't know.
Drew Sidora. She's an actress.
So.
She's a new housewife. There is a new friend to the show, LaToya Ali, LaToya Forever on YouTube. She has been added to the cast as a friend of the show. And from what I'm hearing from great sources like The Peach Report, which is the best account to follow for news on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Follow The Peach Report daily on Instagram and on Twitter. They are the best for all of the information, credible information, credible hints, never giving away too much of the plot line of the season, but giving you actual, credible, factual hints as to what's going on and keeping you abreast of casting news and things like that. So shout out to the Peach Report Daily. But we did know that LaToya is filming like crazy. She's going to have one of those heavily involved friend of the cast roles like Marlo Hampton has had for the past few seasons. So we're looking forward to seeing her on the show. There's a couple other newbies that are going to be making some noise. And so it's going to be really good. Season 13 is going to be good. And from what I'm also hearing.
What does that mean when someone's a friend? Like, why not? Is it a way to test them with the audience?
Yes and no. There's a couple different things that play into the network and production company's decision to cast someone as a quote unquote peach holder or full-time housewife versus a friend to the show. And it's usually because there's a part of their life that they are not able to or not willing to show to the world. So like in LaToya's case, the murmurings are that her husband, she's going through some challenges in her marriage right now with her husband. And he didn't want to film with the kids. He didn't want the kids filmed on TV and on camera, and he didn't want her family being a part of her storyline. And so that kind of limited her potential to be a full-time peach holder. And the rumors are that she was always intended to be a peach holder, and this was an ongoing conversation, you know, between him, her husband, and the producers as to whether or not he would allow his kids to be involved. And ultimately, he said no. That kind of limited what she could show, you know, on camera, and she had to be featured as a friend. But again, I want to stress that LaToya's name has been in every single headline I've read about this upcoming season. So she's heavily entrenched in the storylines. We won't be missing her. And it's actually probably going to be a situation where we wish that she could have been classified as a full-time peach holder because she was that relevant to all the storylines. So right. I'm looking forward to seeing her on there, but it's going to be good.
And she's going to bring a shit ton of traffic because she has huge following.
Huge following, and everybody's going to be excited to see that for her. So I know I'll be watching, and I actually subscribed to her YouTube channel because I found out that she was going to be on the show. So I really like what I've seen.
She making that's season coming. Two. She better go on ahead and renegotiate the that contract since they got that freed up money.
I mean, hey, you know. So also, though, what I want to talk about this week is The Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm not sure. Did you watch this Sunday's episode, Asante?
I think it watched me, you know? It was one of those.
Okay, so there was a moment where Wendy Osefo, Dr. Wendy Osefo, she's a PhD and she has 4 degrees, and she loves telling us that on this show.
Yes,
but
and
she's
I'm glad
been,
they ran the reel back.
She's a new cast member, new addition to the cast this season. No real personal ties to anyone on this show. And you have to remember that this show is about a group of women who known each other for years. They go way, way back. So Wendy being thrown into the mix, she's kind of tried to find her footing. And unfortunately, she made the mistake that a lot of people who are new to like an ensemble cast make. Yes. And that is her trying to gain relevance through confrontation or attachment to confronting someone who's been there longer than her. And unfortunately, she chose Karen Huger to do this with, and it just was a bad choice all around because Karen don't play. So much so that Karen retweeted a video clip of a conversation she had with Wendy on this past Sunday's episode and captioned it, "You don't want this smoke, #RHOP. And the scene she was referring to was a scene at a table. They're at an event celebrating a baseball hat line that Robin Dixon is coming out with called Embellished that Gisele Bryant said. And what is it called? Embezzled? And they fell out. That was funny. However, Gisele's been running her mouth. Right. Embezzled.
Instantly.
Gisele's been running her mouth, starting shit, running things back from one person to the next. And she's hyped Wendy up to confront Karen over nothing. She said that Karen was making fun of Whitney's degrees and questioning her degrees. And she wasn't. She just said she's a doctor, but of what, you know, whatever. That's it. She wasn't questioning her degrees, whatever. But Wendy, of course, because she's grasping for straws to hang on to for relevance, she chose to make this something that she went to confront Karen about and drop all these stats to Karen Huger about how less than 2% of the population has a PhD and there's more MDs than PhDs. So if a black woman, because you know she had to make it a black woman issue, she said, you know, if a black woman has a PhD, you should be celebrating and not tearing it down and blah, 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 and all this shit. To which Karen responded with something that I thought was so perfect that I am not even going to try to communicate it myself. I'm just going to play it for y'all. So here's Karen's response to Wendy saying that even though she don't brag on her degrees, you should have more respect for me as a black woman with this degree and so uplifted and not make fun of it and all this shit. And here is how Karen, the Grand Dame Huger, responded. It go a little something like this.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so
do I get to talk?
Do you understand?
Yes. Let her respond.
Wendy, let's be very clear. You and I, each time we have an issue, is based upon interpretation of what I have said to someone, okay? This is always taken out of context and always said with a hint of funk to it. Understand that I understand the power of education. I come from an extremely educated family, and even though I do not have a degree,
not near one,
don't need one, because I'm one of those people that succeed, Wendy. God is good. I've been blessed with the spirit of entrepreneur, and I'm doing a damn thing. There are a lot of people in this country that do not have degrees. My mother said this, and I stand by this. Common sense is a saving grace, and baby, you can't buy it, and I got it.
You can't buy it, and I got it.
Checkmate. Now, that's why you don't dip your toe in a pool if you don't know how hot that water is. Stop trying to start arguments because you're going to end up looking stupid on TV. What you did came off as haughty and as if you were touting these 4 degrees over Karen's head and acting like she wasn't able to grasp certain concepts and, you know, you were to be this deity of education and respected, you know, because you had this PhD. Girl, don't nobody give a fuck about your degrees. And Karen let her ass have it. She said, and Karen told her,
Deity of education. I'm sorry. That needs to be the title. That's the title.
Deity of education. That's it.
She did.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you some deity of education. Girl, you ain't the math pope. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so she going to say, so Karen told her, she said, you know what? No, I don't have my own degree. And you're Wendy right, going to say, Not Nan one. And Karen said, not Nan one, don't need one, because I'm one of those people that succeeds, Wendy. God is good. He blessed me with the opportunity, with the spirit of entrepreneurship, and I am doing the damn thing. Let her have it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's how you get a motherfucker up off of you when they're trying to force an issue. Karen tore her ass up, and we love to see it. And went on to imitate the way that Wendy was walking down the steps in front of her face
and
had the whole room laughing. And they did the walk out of the door.
All of them. Everyone. even she fell in line and did it too.
Because she big. And what happened was, if you really want to tell it, what happened was she started laughing. She couldn't even like hold back the desire to laugh, because you know why, you guys? She wasn't really mad in the first place. Like I said, she was grasping for some sort of confrontation to attach herself to be relevant. And this is why you don't do it, because you end up getting embarrassed and exposed as a person who was doing it just for those reasons. So if you get a chance, watch that episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac. Also, look out for season 13 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Also, watch The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because we, as in myself, Francesca, and Asante, we're going to watch it and we're going to talk about it.
I'm ready.
Invitation to you all. And that, my dears, is all I have to say.
As always, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you so much. And we will catch you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.